You know, if a few of us adults could get as uninhibited as those kids, we might have church.
That's right, brother.
And you know, if you remember the story of that first Palm Sunday, the Pharisees got all bent out of shape. What's all this shouting and hosannas and all this kind of stuff? Tell them to shut up. And Jesus said, if these were quiet, the very stones of the ground would cry out, praise to the Lord. He deserves our praise, our worship, our honor, our hosannas, our hallelujahs, our praise gods. First King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, this is an Easter song that we sing. I think we sang it last week. Asked four questions. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? If you went around the world this morning and asked those questions, there are places and villages where they'd say, didn't happen in my village. Maybe try the village across the river, across the other mountain. Have no clue. Other places you'd ask that question, they'd say, well, I've heard about that, but it's a myth. It never happened. Other places you'd ask the question and somebody would say, well, that happened a long time ago. I don't see how it applies to me. Somebody else might say, well, I don't have any sins. There are no sins. I don't need somebody dying for me. And then some would say, oh yeah, that's when Jesus died for the whole world. Were you there? According to the Bible, you were there. Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 53. If you want to look to Isaiah 53, we'll look, and then we're going to go to Romans. But Isaiah 53, and we'll start reading at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world was on Jesus on that cross. Now I can sort of understand how God went back in past time to Adam and everybody that lived from then and named off their sins because it had already happened and brought them and put them on the Lord. But you know, it just sort of staggers your mind to think that the Lord reached out here into the future and got my sin and your sin. And the sin of every other individual out in the future. And since he knows all things, he knows when the last person is going to reach the age of accountability and have the last sin. You know, somewhere, at some point, whether it's going to be in 2019 or 2029 or some other time, there's going to be the last person that reaches the age of accountability and has the last sin. And somehow or another, he reached out all the way into the future. And every one of our sins, he pulled back into the past and laid them on Jesus. You say, explain that to me? No way do I know how to explain that to anybody, even myself. I can't, it's hard to comprehend, but God is so great and so wonderful and powerful that he could join together the sins of the whole world, all of it, and lay it upon Jesus. You were there and I was there because our sin, and the scripture says in another place, we died with him. We died with him on that cross. You were there. Paul explains it over in Romans 4 and 5. If you'll turn over to Romans chapter 4 verse and chapter 5. And just listen to how some of the things that Paul says about it. Romans 4, the last verse of Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses, was raised for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go down to verse 6 of chapter 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then look over at chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed and henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Paul there over and over again, he's saying, listen, on that cross, when Jesus hung there, you were there. You weren't just at the foot of the cross. Your life, your sin, all that was wrong. And you know, there's sin in my future that I don't know anything about. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow or the next day or whenever. But it was all there on the cross. Things that you've never done don't know that you're going to do. They were there on the cross. You were there at the cross. And Paul goes on to explain what really happens when we receive it. Now, here's the deal. Jesus died for everybody's sin. Everybody that ever lived and ever will live, Jesus died for their sin. But then we're going to come into two categories. We're going to be those that believe it and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and their sin is discounted, taken away, and they're going to heaven. And there are going to be those that didn't know about it, or those that didn't believe it, or those that refused it. And they're going to spend an eternity without God in a place of torment. Now, Jesus has already died for their sin. They just didn't receive it. You know, it's foolish to let Jesus die, pay for your sin, and and then you pay for it again. I remember being in a cafeteria up in Inca Candler and speaking to some folks that lived in our neighborhood, our cove, and they weren't members of my church, but I'd preach some funerals for some family members that didn't have preachers, and we finished eating, and I went up to pay, and they said, "Those folks just paid for your lunch." Hallelujah. You think I'm going to pull my credit card out and say, "I insist on paying"? They said, "We got our money." No, I insist on you taking my money. Give them their money back. I just said, "Thank you." Next time I saw them, I thanked them. I was glad that somebody paid for my lunch. And I'm glad that somebody paid for my sin as well. I'm more glad, a lot more glad for that than for lunch. Lunch was $15. Sin is for all of eternity. Sin is between heaven and hell. And I am so glad that somebody paid for my sin. Aren't you? And if there's anybody here that has not received that, if there's anybody here that has not made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I pray that you'll do it before you leave. And if you've got friends and loved ones, kids, grandparents, parents, co-workers that haven't received Jesus Christ, share Jesus with them. Tell them what a difference he can make. And notice some things here in chapter 5 that just bless me as I look at them. That are results of us receiving Jesus. In verse 1 he says we are justified by faith. We're made right with God. We are made right with God. And then it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for centuries, thousands of years, even today, how many people think God's mad at them? You think about some of the religions of the world, and they live in a region where there's a volcano that may erupt, and the thing goes to rumbling, and what do? You know, God's getting mad at us. So we've got to go throw a young lady or a young man into there to maybe appease the God and get him not to be mad at us, not to be angry with us. But through Jesus Christ, you can have peace with God, and you can be made right with him. And you know, he's not angry with you. God loves you. God loves me. He's not angry with us. And I think that's great news. You know, if you had a cruel or an abusive parent, a lot of times you sort of cringed in their presence. And many of us sort of pray that way, don't we? Now, God, I know I messed up today, but God, I'm just waiting. But no, we can have peace with God like we could with a loving father, loving mother, loving grandfather, loving grandmother. Peace with God. That's wonderful. Now, some of us have to grow into that. You know, I grew up, and I don't know whether it's parents, grandparents, Sunday school teachers, preachers, but you know, the picture of God I had growing up was that he was sitting there on his throne and he had his big old lightning rod. And every time little Eddie messed up, maybe that's a picture of God that you had. And it's taken me a lifetime to learn that, you know, God's not like that. God loves us. God knows that little Eddie and big Ed mess up. He still loves me. That's great. He still loves us. We have peace with God. Verse 2 says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. All of us, everybody here, especially you ladies, ought to be glad for the access you have to the Heavenly Father through Jesus. You think about when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they got there to Mount Sinai. You remember they put a barricade up and said, if you get on the other side of the barricade, what? You're going to die. You can't get any closer to God than this. And there was lightning and thundering and rumbling and earthquake and all of that on the mountain. The children of Israel just kept backing up, said, hey, now, whoa, Moses, you go talk to God, and then when you find out what he wants to tell us, you come back and tell us. They didn't want to get anywhere near God. And then later, you remember when they built the tabernacle and then the temple? Do you remember how they had it quarantined or cordoned off? Over here, you've got Gentiles. And basically, that's probably everybody here in this room. And I've read that there's a sign up here. If Gentile comes past this line, you're subject to death. So, you know, if you're, and way over here is the Holy of Holies where God dwells. And if you're a Gentile, this is as far and as you can come and as close to God as you can get. Well, you ladies weren't any better off much. You got one more step in. There was the court for the women. Still, God's still way off, but you can't get any closer because you're a woman and you don't really count. And then they had the court for just regular Jewish men. And this is as far as they could come. And then over here you had the priest. And this is as far as they could come. And then finally you have the Holy of Holies. And the high priest was the only person that could go in one time a year. Everybody else is excluded. The very presence of God is just for the high priest once a year. But you know, on the resurrection, it says that crucifixion and the resurrection, that veil to the Holy of Holies was torn apart, top to bottom, and now we all have access to the holy presence of God. 24/7. 24/7. And if you're a Gentile, you've got access. If you're a lady, you've got just as much access as the preacher. If you're just an ordinary layman, you've got just as much access as the preacher. And a preacher like me is just as much access as a Billy Graham. We all have access, Paul says, into the presence of God 24/7. Praise the Lord. And I was thinking about this last night. You know, they had that sacrificial system. If you were poor, you brought in a couple of doves or pigeons because that's all the sacrifice you could afford. Can you imagine you come up and you're poor and you've got your two little birds, and you look over here and somebody's got a nice ram. And all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, this is all the sacrifice I've got. Wonder what he's got. Look at what he's got. Surely God's going to show him more favor than he's going to show me, because look at my pitiful little offering. And the guy over here with the ram, he's feeling pretty good because he's looking over here at the guy with the birds. But then he looks over here and here's, this guy's got a prime bull to offer. And now the guy with the ram, he's feeling better than this guy, but he's not feeling as good as this guy. Aren't you glad that we all have the same blood of Jesus to go into the Holy of Holies? All of us have the same blood of Jesus to go into the Holy of Holies. You've got the same amount that I've got and that any other believer in Jesus Christ has. Paul says we have access, an open pass, an entry into the holy presence of the Lord by his grace. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in it. You know, we look forward to heaven. And Paul says it's far better. Next time somebody says, well, to you, how are you doing? And you say, well, it beats the alternative. I'm not doing so well, but it beats the alternative. No, heaven's far better. Now, we don't want to, none of us want to go today. But heaven is far better. And that's what the Bible tells us based on somebody who's been there and came back. It's far better. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. God's love is just shed abroad, poured into our hearts. God's love. We've already read the scripture. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love poured into our hearts. Poured into our hearts. And look at verse 20. The last phrase, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin abounded, piled up, ran over the bucket. But look about grace, much more abounded. Or you can't sin too much that God can't forgive, except if you turn your back on Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done, how bad you've been, how far you've wandered from God. Sin abounded, but grace more abounded. There's more than enough grace for your sin and my sin. You know, you don't go to the Lord in prayer as you go to bed at night and say, God, I did this and did that and I messed up and God forgive me. And God says, well, you know, I'm sorry. I can't forgive that because I used all my grace on Ed. You're just out of luck. Or I used up all my grace for all the sinners today by 12 o'clock at noon, and I didn't have any more grace for anybody afternoon. No, it says where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. Praise God for a God who loves us, who forgives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for grace that's more than enough. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And that verse that's not in some of the hymn books. And as soon as I said it, I lost it. The Lord has promised good to me. The Lord has promised good to me. And the last part says something like, He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. How long is life going to endure? For an eternity. For an eternity. His grace will be your blessing. And it's all because Jesus died for us. What did he say in verse 8? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? You were. Will you be there, and will our friends and our loved ones be there when we kneel before him in eternity and say, King of kings and Lord of lords, glory to God the Father. That's what matters. You were there. And I pray that every person here will be there on that great day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Whether it's with the trumpet blast and we come out of a grave, or whether it's with the trumpet blast and we just go through the ceiling. I pray that you'll be there. You were there at the cross. Be there in heaven. As we sing our invitation to him, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you receive him this morning? If you need to rededicate your life, if you've got a burden in your heart this morning for somebody that I mentioned, or somebody that the Holy Spirit mentioned to your heart, would you come and pray for them? There are the decisions you need that the Lord's laid on your heart. We invite you to come.